here at Durban North Baptist Church. What a great family church you are. To hear you all singing is just wonderful. You know that often you don't hear, especially when you're leading worship, and I love to lead worship as well, but often when you lead worship, you can't hear people singing because it's quite noisy up here. But it was wonderful to hear you singing today. And wonderful to be able to celebrate the fact that we're a family and that we all have our needs met somewhere along the line. And I want to salute you as Durban Baptist Church, Durban North Baptist Church. You've got a good formula here, and I want to say well done. It's great for young families to come into. It's great for older folk to belong to. And we all bow and give each other room. Wonderful. I think you deserve a clap, and I'd like you to lead that with me as well. So well done, guys. Well done. Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles now to Malachi and chapter 3. If you're visiting us today and you weren't here last week, let me just quickly tell you where we're going. I'm speaking about living under God's favor and God's protection. And last week I spoke about it's all about the heart. I have this absolute conviction that God has put in place over our lives, as it were, a huge umbrella. And He said, if you walk in my ways and do what I ask you to do, then actually you will enjoy my favor, my blessing, my encouragement, my presence. But if you walk outside of that protection and don't do and don't live in my presence, then there will be those things that happen in your life that will be difficult. But when we live in the presence of God and under His favor and under His protection, we can know the smile of God in our lives. I believe with all of my heart that God wants to smile on us. So I'm speaking about giving, and I'm speaking about our relationship with the Lord in terms of our finances. But I'm not doing it because you have to do this, okay? I'm doing this, I have this deep conviction within my heart that this is a process, this is part of what God wants for us. And as we live in this reality, there is this wonderful confidence that actually from the heart, our giving is an expression of who we are in terms of our relationship with God, and I want to encourage you in that as well. So that's, we talked a little bit about how the heart reflects our love for God and how our giving is part of that. Now, if you are not part of Durban North Baptist Church, this message is really for the church, but I hope that you will be able to listen to it and share in it as well, and that it might be a blessing to you and change your life. I am of the conviction this morning that God wants to intercept our lives in a very special way today. And I want to encourage you. God has intercepted my life and continues to do that. I thought when you kind of retired, you could kind of relax a little bit. But you know what? God is building into my life, our lives particularly, that deep, deep sense that actually all He wants is my heart. And He wants me to live and move and have my being in this wonderful relationship with God. Not just a Sunday thing, not just because I was a pastor and I had to do it. But now I get to do it just because He loves me and I love Him. And I, you know, when you sang that song today just about, it's all about Him. That's what it's about today. So today we're going to be, I've got to turn it on. Okay. I've got to click it today so it'll be best. I'm talking today about the tithing trust test. Now don't get a panic. Don't be uptight. Listen to what we are saying today and sharing it. And so we're going to be looking at Malachi chapter 3 verses 6 to 12. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And such a challenging book a book that just preceded the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how God comes and cuts deep into the hearts of everyone who would dare to listen, and really exposes where we are in terms of that as well. So I'm not going to go through the whole book, but just pick up from verse 6 of this particular chapter, chapter 3 and verse 6. So if you don't know where it is, find Matthew and go back a few pages, okay? I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in the field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. What an amazing passage of Scripture. Now I'm going to use this, come back to it, go away from it, come back to it, because I want you to learn some principles. If you've got a piece of paper and pen, then take some notes as well, but share in this. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for this opportunity, and as Jan prayed before I came here, Lord, we want you to open our hearts. We want you to speak to us. We want each one of us to be in a place where we can listen to what you have to say. And we pray that you would give us the grace to be able to respond and be able to know the truth of these words in our hearts and lives today. Pray that we might be different. Let the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A man was going home from church, and he had his teenage son with him in the car. And you know what often happens when you're going home from church? So what do you think about that? You know, what do you think about the pastor and so on? So the father was complaining a little bit and saying he didn't really think much of the sermon today. So the young teenager said to him, well, Dad, I don't know. I think it was worth the dollar that you put in. You hear about the three notes that were about to be destroyed. You know how you shred the notes and you've printed new ones and everything like that. And there was a $100 bill and a $20 bill and a $1 bill. And they were all talking together. And just before they went into the shredder, the $100 note said, man, you know what? I've traveled the world. I've been in the most exotic places that you can dream of. I've been in the most amazing casinos and on the most beautiful yachts. And I've been given as tips to all over the place. And so he was just rejoicing in the amazing life that he had in high society. The $20 note said, you know, well, I haven't traveled the world, but I think I've been in every Starbucks coffee shop throughout the United States of America. And the $1 bill said, well, I can't say any of that, you know, but I think that I've been in every single church in the whole of this nation. And the $100 bill said to him, church? What's a church? sometimes profound. Because money is a thing that actually is very awkward to talk about sometimes. And so it's quite nice coming here, and I can talk as I like, because I don't know you, and I don't know what your church finances are. But I want to talk about the heart today. This message is really for Durban North Baptist Church. And as we look at living under God's favor and protection, there are a few things that I want you to note before we get going as well. I believe that this is a pathway to spiritual blessing more than almost any other pathway that there is. Why? Because Jesus said where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And you have to go through your treasure to discover your heart. You cannot give your heart, as I said to somebody else last week, if you've given to somebody before that. You cannot give your heart to two people or two things at the same time. So this is a key element of your spiritual development. So I want you to hold on to that thought as well. And I'm not just making it up. This is an outward recognition that everything ultimately belongs to God. Your breath, your next breath, your children, your families, your spouse, your health, your future, everything belongs to God. I heard of a pastor in South America who was trying to teach this, and he learned this. And every morning he would get up and he would open his cupboard and he would say, "Lord, which of your shirts do you want me to wear today? And Lord, which of your children do you want me to bless today? And which do you want me to give away? Which of your clothes do you want me to give to those who are in need? How much of your money do you want me to part with in my life today?" Because ultimately what I want you to begin to understand, this is not about money. It is about your heart. And that's the most important thing that I want you to see. And then also, the last thing that I want to note is that this is a dare. It's a test. But you're not taking it, okay? You don't have to get... You know when you go into school and you say, "Okay, take out your books. This is a pop quiz." You're not taking it today, but it is a test. And I want you just to listen to this morning as well. This is not a church fundraising campaign, okay? This is an offer by God Himself of blessing and of curse. It's an offer that God said, "Live under my protection and know my blessing, or you choose to walk outside of that protection and expose yourself to all of the satanic influences that there are in this world. It's your choice." And so that's what I'm saying today. "Choose you this day," said Joshua, "whom you will serve. If it is Baal, choose him. If it is the Lord, choose him. As for me and my family, we choose the Lord." Okay, so the first thing that I want us to look at this morning is the requirement or the theology of tithing. Now, I'm not going to do an exhaustive study in this. I've grown up in a Baptist church where tithing has been taught, but I also hear the other side where they say, "No, we're under grace. We're under grace." Do you know that money and giving is the only thing almost that actually we kind of invoke about grace? And we say we don't need to do it. No, the Bible never teaches that. And so I want you to understand today that I'm not talking about law, and I'm not talking about oughtness. I'm talking about relationship. God's not in need. Tithing is not about God and making him rich. We're the ones that are in need. And we're the ones that need to hear what God is saying to this. The Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And what tithing does, and what giving does, it develops a trustfulness within our own hearts, because actually it makes no sense. So the starting place for all Christians in living your Christian life is learning these principles of trust and obedience and love in the presence of God. How are you going to enjoy the very presence of God if you haven't learned about your heart and who has control of it as well? So there are four things that I want to just put up here as well. First of all, tithing precedes the law. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20 is the story of Abraham. After he had rescued his nephew and they had plundered all of the invading armies, the raiders, their things, he meets this mystical figure, Melchizedek, the king of Salem or king of righteousness. Psalm 110 talks about him in this way, that he was a pre-incarnate image of God. Psalm 110 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 6 to 11 underlines the fact that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, what the writer to the Hebrews says is that Melchizedek, that we meet in Genesis chapter 14, is a pre-incarnate image and appearance of the Lord Jesus himself. And Abraham instinctively realizes that actually, in order to express dependence and worship and love and gratitude, he recognizes that a tenth is what he needed to give. So it precedes the law. Yes, it's included in the law, and I'm not going to go into it, but you can read about the giving. And there's, if you really look at giving in the Old Testament, especially under Moses, it was a lot more than a tenth, because it was the tenth, and then it was a free will and offering, then it was the wave offerings, and so it went on. So there's no doubt that tithing is embedded in the law as well. So it precedes the law, it's embedded in the law, but it also is endorsed by the practice and what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 42. Maybe you should look at Luke chapter 11. So flip across there so that you can have this in mind as well. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Now then, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of a cup and the dish, but inside is full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint and rue and all other kinds of gardens herb, but you reject or you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." And what Jesus he's not saying, don't, you know, you giving all your tenth and everything. The Pharisees were pretty legalistic about that. They got the wrong end of the stick, and they were cleaning the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup of justice and righteousness and humility, they weren't even worried about that. They would pray on the side of the street saying, "God, I thank you that I'm not like this poor beggar here." And there was this arrogance within them. And Jesus said, "Listen, we need to keep the outside of the cup clean as well. But you need to do justice. And you need to love mercy. And you need to walk humbly before your God." That's what Micah says. That's a really important thing for us to understand. So Jesus doesn't cancel the requirement of tithing. He kind of raises the bar and he says, he adds to it. Do it from your heart and do it with a humble spirit. Do it loving justice. Do it giving everything that you've got to the poor. There was this amazing confirmation that Jesus did as well. And then Paul teaches it as well And if you want to look at 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and it's a great passage of Scripture. So I'm not going to go through this all, but hear what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatians churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his own income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection needs to be made. What Paul says here is, all Christians need to be involved in this. There's no exception. This is not a thing to wealthy people, okay? It's to us pensioners. I can say that now. It's to us pensioners who have fixed incomes. God still requires this because He still requires our hearts. It's to everybody. Paul said, all Christians, give proportionally. According to your income, set some aside. Do it regularly, systematically, on the first day of the week, and then do it purposefully, saying, I'm going to do this because this is what God has asked me to do. Now, regular giving, personal giving, proportional giving. That's the reality. That's the positive thing that God wants us to do. The negative reality is this. If we don't do it, Malachi records that God says we are robbing Him. How are we robbing you, Lord? Well, by your tithes and offerings. And you rob yourself. You rob God and you rob yourself because you put yourself outside of His umbrella of protection. You can't enjoy the fullness of God because somebody else has got your heart. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve money and God. You have to make a choice in this. And giving is the way that we trigger our hearts to give to God. I wish I could remember all of the circumstances of this little story. I meant to check with Jen before I came, but I preached this at Margate, and a lady came to this sermon, and God had been speaking to her. I wonder if God is speaking to any of you and has spoken to you during the week, or if you're going through some kind of thing and you say, I can't believe you're speaking about this. She came to the sermon when she'd missed the first one, and she'd been arguing with God because God had been saying to her, you're robbing me. And so she came into the service and she heard me even just read the passage of Malachi, and her heart was just broken in two, and she began to say, Lord, okay, I'm going to give to you. Because she was saying to the Lord, how am I robbing you, Lord? How am I robbing you? And God said, it's about your tithe. And so she came the next week, and she said, I'm going to give my tithe. And she brought it to give to the church that day, her full tithe. And she is a grandmother. And her little granddaughter was seriously ill. In fact, there was this sense in which she didn't want to leave her little granddaughter at home. But she had this deep impression in her heart, I've got to go to church and I've got to give my tithe there because I want to be obedient to God and I want Him to bless me. And so she left her grandkid, and there were people around her little granddaughter at that time. And she came to church, and when the offering came by, with a glad heart she put her money in and she just said, Lord, I'm trusting you for my little granddaughter. And if I'm not wrong, when she got home, the report was that her granddaughter had turned the corner and she was going to be okay. I want you to know that giving is a deeply personal thing between you and God. And it is something that is really important for you to hold on to. And you have the choice of that. So the theology of tithing as well. Okay, now I want us to look quickly at the reward or the benefit of tithing. Warren Wiersbe said these words, God loves faith and always rewards it. God loves faith. When God looks at you daring to trust Him, He loves it. I remember just one of the songs we sang. Where are you, Jan? I can't find you. Okay. When we sang that song, that when He calls you, He'll be faithful. And I had this flashback to when I was 14 years old. And my pastor in the Sunday evening service spoke about missions and giving your heart and following Him. I have this flashback this morning here as we sang that song about standing in the front of that church, at Bulawayo Baptist Church, and saying, here am I, Lord. I'll follow You wherever You go. God loves faith. Have I been faithful? I haven't been nearly as faithful as I could have been. But you know, I've dared to trust the Lord. We read a verse that is, and everything kind of conspires together in God's wonderful reality and worship. Read the verse this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Why you chose that verse today is just incredible, because that's our family verse. And we are being called over and over and over again to really begin to put that into practice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. God loves faith, and He loves to reward it. And then God looks with faith, looks with favor on cheerful giving. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. And then God promises bounty. Malachi chapter 3. You bring the full tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not pour out upon you a blessing that you will not be able to contain. God's promise is a promise of bounty. That's what it says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Let me just get to that quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be full to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Remember, we don't give to get. We give to express our hearts. And when we do that, God's promise is bounty. This is not a prosperity message. Please don't misunderstand that. But there is God's promise throughout. If you live according to how I want you to, and you give me your love with all your heart, soul, and mind, you will live under the protection. You will enjoy the fullness of all that I have for you. It is just an amazing key, the connection between giving and our heart. And I want you to understand that this morning as well. This is not law. It is not about we need. It is about you and your relationship with God. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And so there are many other verses that we could look at as well. But He doesn't only promise bounty, but He also promises protection, okay? Okay, I've gone too far. The protection that God gives. Remember He said, if you do this, then I will rebuke the devourer. I'll rebuke the thing that eats into your heart and into your mind and into your wealth and into your everything that there is. If you live under God's protection and the smile of His favor, God promises to be with you and to help you as well. And then, very importantly, this is God's process of spiritual development. It is the key, I believe, that unlocks the heart. It is that which rips away the control of my heart. When the offering plate comes by, or when we are faced with a need that there is, it's the hardest thing to take that wallet out. I love the little cartoon of a guy who is getting baptized, and you know what he did? He forgot his wallet in his pocket as he was being baptized. And so as he went down under the water, he was holding his wallet out above the water. Sadly, it's a picture of saying, I don't mind being baptized in every part of me, but not my wallet. It's the hardest thing because it ties my heart. Please hear what I'm saying. And God's process in my life is that He wants me to live and be and have my being in Him. That's the thing that is most important to Him. As I said last Sunday, it's not about meeting together on a Sunday here. It's about what happens tomorrow. I was thinking, wouldn't it be something that we could put into our watch that every hour we would hear this little beep, beep. I know you probably could do it, but you could. It goes beep, beep. Say, you're in God's presence. In the office, in school, on the playing fields, on the beach, it's all about Him. God doesn't want a Sunday contribution of my heart. He wants it tomorrow. He wants it 10 minutes after the service. He wants it all the way through. He wants us to be able to live and practice, as Brother Lawrence said, practicing the presence of Jesus. Isn't that an amazing reality? He wants you to be able to sing. He wants you to be able to dance in the street about Him. And the world will look at you and say, whoa, what's different about you? We have a team of folk from the NEMA Foundation that teaches in a school just close to Kloof Baptist Church. And we had the government had put some helpers into the school. And the headmistress didn't want to be bothered with them, so she gave them to our team, and our team was to teach reading to those who can't read in English. It's basically a phonics program. You want to know more about that, speak to Jen. But this lady was placed with these folk, and actually our team were frustrated because here's this one little kid and got four adults around this one little kid, and she's got to be taught how to read. And so they were, in their hearts, they were frustrated. But this lady went home and she said to her mom, I have met some people who are so full of joy and I don't know what's different about them, but I'm going to go back next week and I'm going to find out where they get that joy from. They came to our church. She was Islam. She was a Muslim. She trusted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. I had the privilege of baptizing her. Her husband divorced her because she had become a Christian. Her whole family got baptized. Why? Because they saw Jesus in the lives of those, and it wasn't just about Sunday. You are God's expression. And I want you to know that giving sounds crazy. I believe it is a key. It is the thing that either keeps me walking in His presence or prevents me from walking in His presence. So I want you to hold on to that as well. So it's God's purpose, process of growing you spiritually. I've got Samuel 15 up there. Story of King Saul. When he didn't obey God, and God and Samuel said to King Saul, God requires obedience rather than sacrifice. Saul was insecure. He wanted to be popular. He wanted to be accepted by everybody. He was insecure. He was beautiful to look at, head and shoulders above everybody else, handsome as anything. He was the desire of everybody. But in his heart, he lost the plot. And God said, obedience is better than sacrifice. A.M. Hodgkins said this, the secret of spiritual blessing is bringing our whole selves to God. Spurgeon said this, many people are poor because they rob God. I want you to hear this at the end. It is an act of faith. It makes no sense, does it? In this day and age, when things are tight, it makes no sense. It made no sense for that woman by the treasury to bring the two mites, all she had. It made no sense. It was crazy. But God is much bigger than that. It's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. In the Old Testament, people were kind of compelled to obedience by fear. If you do this, then God will bless you. If you don't, then you're going to be rejected and off you go up into Babylon. It never worked for them. But I want you to know that here in the New Testament, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed this prayer, "Lord, if there's any other way, but if not, then I will do what you want." And this is the greatest expression of love that has ever been. And his scars, as we sang, speak about his love and his grace toward us. And then Jesus turns around and says, "I want you to live in the same way. Husbands, I want you to love in the same way. Wives, we want you to love and submit just as Jesus submitted to the Father." There is this wonderful reality that God said, "I have loved you so much that I want you to walk in this love. And I want you to encourage and see us as part of this as well." And it's an act of love. And we talked about this last week a little bit, about how we measure our love. And so, this morning as I end, I want to give you this challenge. And it's the tithing trust test. First of all, understand this. You're not the ones who are being tested, okay? Don't panic. It's not about whether you can pass or fail this test. It is about God, okay? So, young couple decided that they were going to do this and they were going to follow the Lord and they were going to tithe, and they hardly had any income to do this, but they were challenged in their hearts to do this. And so they wrote out a little check on the Sunday morning, and it kind of was exactly what they needed to give, and they decided that they were going to challenge or they were going to trust the Lord. That week, their jobs changed. And they were able to give a check the next week 263% higher, simply because they were doing what God wanted them to do. God says He will pour out a blessing. This is not about getting. But the principle is true, that if we do this, God will bless. Okay? So, I'm underlining it again. We don't give to get. We don't give to get. If you give because you think it'll pay, I want to make an announcement. Tithing doesn't pay if that's the only way you give it. If you give in order to say, "Lord, I need a Merc or I need this or whatever," then just please understand that is heresy. Okay, so you're not giving to get. But the Lord says, "Test me." It is the Lord who's on trial here this morning. It's amazing. How does the Lord, the God of the universe, who breathed and Adam became, who created this in a word, who said, "I am the Lord God Almighty, now test me. I'm putting all of my honor on the line. I'm putting all of my promises on the line. If I fail in this test, then you can walk out of this church and know that none of this is true." Yeah. Can you hear that? That's what God is saying. Test me in this and see if I will not do this. In fact, I think that God says it kind of like we would say it, "I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to try. I dare you to follow what I'm saying and see if I will not do everything that I've promised." So I have a 4-month challenge, okay? 4-month challenge. And I want to encourage you to do this. And I want you to see if this will you can live through this. I said this to my church in Kloof, and I said it to Margate. I said, I want to challenge you. You do it for 4 months, and you test God. And if you do it honestly and right, you'll be going to be living under the protection and the promise of God. God promises He's going to pour out His blessing upon you. If He doesn't, then you don't have to do it ever again. But you've got to do it right, okay? You've got to do it with all your heart, and it's got to be for Him. And you've got to live in His presence. You've got to hear that little beep that goes off every hour that said, "You're in my presence, my son, my daughter. Live for my glory. Live for me." And do this for 4 months. And just see what happens in your life. Remember, you can't earn His favor, and you can't earn His protection. He's promising to give it. And through your obedience and trust, God says, "My love will be poured out, and I will respond to you. I've never failed the test yet, thus saith the Lord." I'm not making that up. I know that my God is able to do this. Okay, so the practical steps that I want you to follow. The law of the harvest, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 6. As you sow, so you'll reap. Okay, that's the law of the harvest. If you're honoring the Lord with all that you are, and you're honoring Him with your wealth and your being, then I want you to know you will reap, because that's just the law of the harvest. That's how it works. And God is in the harvest, and He promises to prosper that as well. And then do it personally, the decision of obedience, that you'll decide today, "Lord, from now on, this week, this payday, I'm going out and I'm going to give to God, and I'm going to give to you, and I'm going to bring my full tithe. I'm not going to try and skimp it and say, well, this is a different way of doing it." No, do it. Make a decision of obedience, thoughtfully, personally, regularly, enthusiastically. God loves a cheerful giver. Happy. So that when the offering goes by, it actually shouldn't just be, "Okay, let's take up the offering." We actually should be on our feet and say, "Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm worshiping you, and you have my heart. This offering is an expression of my heart." Somebody said this week that I was reading, that tithing is the training wheels of Christian giving and Christian experience. And here's this wonderful promise. God is able, this is all in the context of giving. You read that whole passage. "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work." God promises you. Will you take that test? Will you follow Him? Let's bow together and pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, as we close our service and as we think about giving, we want to give you our hearts. This is about you, Lord, and we want to follow you in all of this. And our prayer today is that you would touch our hearts strangely. Touch my heart again, Lord, I pray, and help us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.